it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a game day inside KeyBank Center with Marty. I'm Brian, and Ottawa provides the opposition. So not unlike yesterday when Alex Lyon said he was sweating through his shirt thinking about new equipment, you probably do so thinking about the brawl and the history, but there were good moments, obviously, as well, including recent memory. Buffalo swept the Senators in the season series last year, all four games.
There was some really good moments, and I always loved, and I'm not saying that slightly, I loved playing the Ottawa Senators because I came in, you know, drafted in 95, you know, 97, 98 was my first year with the Rochester Americans. And in those first few years, there was the Derek Plant, there was the Pekka against Yashin, there was a lot of Buffalo Sabres, Ottawa Senators rivalry moments, right? So I always kind of had that with me every time we played Ottawa. I played junior hockey for half a year in Gatineau, right across the river. I had a lot of friends and family in that area. So it was always fun to play the Ottawa Senators. Always liked it. Now, we do have a poll on Sabres Live right now. That is, what's your favorite Ottawa Sabres, like Senators Sabres moments in the franchise history, whatever. So you got the Derek Plant Game 7 OT goal. You got the brawl. You got the Jason Pominville OT Game 5 in 06. And then you have others, and you can comment. I did not vote for the brawl because I got beat up in that brawl, so that's not a good memory that I want to be able to vote for. So I voted for Pominville, but I have to think the Derek Plant moment was also very significant. The only Game 7 win in Sabres history, so it's pretty significant.
As soon as you mentioned other, my brain just went like, let's think of the most random, ridiculous thing. Do you remember the night when we were out at the studio and Buffalo won on the road in Ottawa, but there was a skirmish at the bench and everybody moved up on the play and there was a Sabre at the other end that ended up with the breakaway and scored?
And scored.
And who was it?
I don't remember who that was.
It was the most ridiculous play.
It wasn't Nathan Beaulieu, right?
It was in that era, though.
It was
post-Beaulieu, but yeah.
You know, another Ottawa Senators moment that's really off the beaten path, and sorry to my son, who's going to get embarrassed again, is that when he had the ice cream Ottawa, and we showed him on the broadcast, and Rob Ray went to town about it. And I had actually send my kid. He's like, Dad, I'll be at the game today. Hey, tell me where you're going to be sitting. We're maybe showing you and your buddies at a game. They're wearing Sabres colors. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but don't do this. And I send him the George Costanza Seinfeld moment where he's at the U.S. Open eating the ice cream. And he goes, don't worry, I won't do it. Sure enough, he goes out there and he's digging into the ice cream and the whole thing, and he's on TV. So there you go.
Beck Malenstein joins us later in the show today. Zach Benson is in the lineup for the first time this season. His impact tonight will be what?
Energy. And I want to say some offense. Obviously, the Sabres are looking for some offense. You look at some of the data and the numbers so far in the season, scoring chances per game. Mm-hmm. They're last in the league. They're not creating enough offense. Lindy Ruff addressed that today. But he talks a lot about creating some scrums around the net, deflections, rebounds. That's all good. I want to see some clean offense. I want to see speed, transition, attack. And Benson brings that. I know everybody thinks Benson is this pit bull of a player, and he has that for him as his identity for sure. But I think he has some ability to create plays, clean plays, and transition plays. And I think that's going to help Thompson and Tuck having those opportunities.
I think it's obviously all situations where the coach, you know, wants to find a way to further the offense. But I think when he was speaking specifically about playing faster and getting inside and offensive tenacity, that's obviously not just at the goal crease. That is through the neutral zone, and especially once you get over the blue line, to get inside and make those plays. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, and it has to come because Lindy talked this morning about it from Ryan McLeod's standpoint, and we've heard it pertaining to other players already, and they know this, obviously, and it's just three games in, but it's where the game can change. And even, you know, Lindy volunteered today that Jiří Kulík will play after yesterday, suggesting that he may not, and that was very clear to the observers at practice because he was not practicing within the top four lines. Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that Jiří will have an opportunity tonight is also important. But let's just listen to Lindy on what he said about Kulík's game yesterday.
It hasn't been good enough, really. We need to be better. He needs to be a better player. He needs to make more plays. He needs to skate more. With his skating inside the game hasn't been where it was last year. He needs to be a better player for us.
And it really does. The lines are, dare I say, almost irrelevant to me at this. But this is something. Like this, I'm lines guy.
You're a lines guy.
I'm. But no matter where anybody finds themselves right now, this is my point. Because Benson, like, we spent all summer assuming that he could find his way onto the top line, and that's where we expect him to be. We'll find out officially when warm-up happens tonight.
But it was a top line that was supposed to be Benson, Norris, Thompson.
Right.
And that's now Benson, Thompson, Tuck.
Yes.
Because Norris is not there. So it's still a big change.
Exactly. So no matter where Jiří finds himself, he has to be taking this message. And whether it's directly from Lindy or ongoing conversations with Seth Appert, which Lindy alluded to this morning, you know, again, you don't want to overanalyze three games, but there was going to be a lot on Jiří's shoulders coming into this season.
Well, I think there's, and knowing Lindy Ruff, the way that he coaches, the way that he addresses the team in good times and bad, there's messages that are being sent to individuals, but also it's deflecting to onto others.
Mm-hmm.
99-2000 started the season. The Sabres went 0-4-2 after going to the finals. One of the first moves that they did was to call me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then morning skate here on a beautiful day like maybe today, like late October. And we're morning skating and he gets everybody at center ice and he goes, okay, well, just want to let you guys know that's not good enough. And nobody is safe, and tonight Marty is playing, and my all-star, you know, Olympic winner goaltender is not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the message. Now, did I know Dom was going to regain the net at some point? 100%, right? But the message was towards Dom, onto everybody else. And I think that's the same thing. The message is towards Jiří Kulík right now, saying, you're a fifth-line guy yesterday. You're not on the line, but you're going to play tonight. But at any moment, I can pull that off, mm-hmm. right? And it's not just him. It could be, you know, Quinn. It could be McLeod. It could be anybody that if you're not getting to the middle and you're not producing and you're not winning one-on-one battles and you're not skating, then somebody else is going to want to do it.
And, obviously, from a Senators standpoint, they're without Brady Tkachuk. They are expecting to get Drake Batherson in for the first time this year. These are major, major players for this Ottawa team. And the Sabres continue with their, you know, cycle of in and out of the lineup with Benson coming in tonight. You have other guys getting close. Jordan Greenway, for instance, we could maybe see by the end of the week. And, I mean, yesterday, you know, Greenway just talking about how important it is to, like, when he's back with the group right now in practice, like, just how important it is for him to bring the energy.
You know, those rehab skates can, by yourself, can start getting pretty lonely. You know, but more than that, you know, where we are, it's easy to be down. It's easy to reflect on our last three games and go out there and, you know, be pissed off and sad and feel bad for ourselves. But, you know, call a spade a spade. We got a game tomorrow. We've got, my math is never great, but 79 more games. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. 79 more games. We got a long season, so I'm a big believer keeping the energy high and just looking to tomorrow.
Are you excited for his eventual return?
I am. And look, you know, Jordan Greenway has been this type of player. There's a polarizing effect to it is because, you know, he is a big body and he does get involved in a lot of aspects of the game. And then there's, you know, there's times where you get left wanting more because you know it's there, but there's been some injury issues, so there's been some limitation. But when healthy, Jordan Greenway is a big part of this team, and Lindy Ruff loves players like Jordan Greenway. So I think that helps maybe even just solidifying your top nine and maybe the rhythm. I mean, I'm looking at the Ottawa Senators' morning skate today. I'm on the side of the bench, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, that's a big guy. Oh, that's a big guy. That's a big guy. Wow, I like this player. I like this player. Looking at the roster, I'm like, there's a good roster there. And when Jordan Greenway is on the ice and when he's on the roster on the lineup card, teams circle him and say, that's a big guy, and that's an NHL player, and that's a good player. And then you add Zucker and McLeod and Thompson and Tuck and, you know, everybody else, and you're like, okay, that's a good lineup when you have everybody there. Mm-hmm. Benson, you know, and if Norris... We're hoping for, you know, Norris to be, like, not as long-term as, you know, originally maybe was expected, especially when Lindy Ruff said significant time. But who knows? Norris getting a second opinion. They have a plan in place. We'll see what happens. So, but when that lineup is there, it's a good lineup. But when you're missing pieces, it's obviously, you know, hard to put it all together.
Again, Benson coming in tonight. Jiří Kulík is expected to be in despite yesterday at practice where it looked like he might be out. So the coach is, you know, just trying to push the right buttons here. And this is what Jordan Greenway thinks he will be when he comes back in.
There's been a lot of ups and downs for sure. It's been mentally the most probably frustrating thing that I've been through in my career. But... you know, the only thing I can do is go out here, do the rehab, do what I need to do to get back on the ice. And, you know, that's where my head's at right now. And, I mean, at this point, I think I've gotten everything fixed. So I'm just going with I'm going to be Terminator when I get back. So I don't know what else can go down for me.
I'll be back.
There you go.
The Terminator. Which one? Terminator 1, Terminator 2, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, if that's the case, I love it. Like, he's not going to be, you know, he's going to be able to dish out shots and not getting banged up. So I like that mentality.
Ottawa, Buffalo, for the first time this season. It happens tonight at KeyBank Center. Who are your who's your guy when it comes to anytime goal scorer tonight?
I'm gonna go with Zach Benson. Is he on our
plus 320?
Well, that, you know what? I mean, the odds are thinking like I'm thinking. The energy that Benson's gonna bring, the going to the front of the net. I think he takes one right off the visor and it goes in. Like, that is what I'm.
You mean the bubble?
The bubble, yeah, he's got the bubble, the visor. Now, I'm not talking the half shields. I'm talking the big shield. He's going to take one right off the visor, and it's going to go in, and then everybody's going to be laughing because, you know, he took a puck to the face, which had him spend, you know, a night in the hospital and has missed some time, and it wasn't supposed to be that way, but it does happen. But plus 320, when you're looking at the odds, I mean, Darlene is still a plus 480, and I picked Darlene in the last game to score. Didn't happen, but I still think there's great value in Darlene, but I'm going with Zach Benson plus 320 to be an anytime goal scorer tonight.
I would go with Ryan McLeod. He had a huge season series against Ottawa last year, and part of the reason why they were four, and they took advantage of both goalies of the Ottawa Senators last year, and both Ullmark and Forsberg had very, very, very similarly low save percentage numbers, and both went 0-2. We'll see just how it shakes down tonight.
We may get a Linus Ullmark appearance on the show. We have had Linus Ullmark appearance on the
show. Travis Green. You could ask him who his starting
goaltender
is. I know.
We could ask Travis Green, but I don't know that he'll want to tell us. I'm going to go with, so Ottawa's going home and playing Seattle tomorrow night.
Yes.
So it's back-to-back. Ullmark has played two games already, and it's, you know, three games, I should say. He's got a 4-point-something goals against average. It's not been great, but he's 1-2. I think we see Levi Mäkinen in net tonight, and they go back with Ullmark against Seattle at home tomorrow. That's what I think. A lot of time teams like to go with their starter the first night, and the backup gets the second night, but you're on the road first, at home the next. I think we're going to see Mäkinen tonight, but who knows? We'll see tonight, and we'll see then.
Well, last night, and by the way, Beck Malenstein joins us at the bottom of the hour, so we'll look forward to that catch-up with Beck, who's got a burgeoning family and obviously an awful lot of focus on tonight's game against the Ottawa Senators and just how collectively the entire group has to play. Last night, there were there were some pretty impressive individual performances. There is genuine concern, I think, for me with San Jose's goaltending.
Oh, boy.
Now, also, on the flip side of San Jose losing 5-1 to Carolina, and the Canes are the unbeaten team of the East at 3-0, it was more about how, at their best, Carolina is even better than they were before.
Yes.
Like, 43-17, as we know, they travel their own statisticians. I'm kidding.
At what point, their shots were like, in the second period, was 36-12 or whatever. It was crazy.
Nedeljkovic, I thought, was okay early, but then it seemed like it really, really got away from him.
Was that the William Carrier goal that was the, like, slide, one-hand slide 5-0?
Well, he didn't get any help from the two people that were trying to defend in the crease, and Carrier just bowled right through both of them and tapped it in.
Right, so it wasn't that goal. There was one goal that was, it was not a good goal, but at the end of the day, the shots were 3-1 for Carolina, and it's a 5-1 game. It just wasn't good enough. San Jose, I watched, like, I tried last night, I tried to get some sense of enthusiasm for San Jose and the youth, and it fell flat last night.
Right, and the opposite is happening in Southern California with Anaheim.
Yes.
They are really, really, really pumping the tires and the expectations this season, and they persevered against Pittsburgh. So, all in all, I mean, here we are. Weaken a little bit in.
Kreider's got four already.
Yeah. Jack Eichel and Kirill Kaprizov are tied for the scoring lead. Jack missed out on a hat trick last night on a little bit of a botched pass to him. He was
For
the empty net. Yeah. He was going straight down the middle of the ice, but the pass went off the end of his stick, you know, as he was entering the zone. But they eventually got the empty netter. And
Calgary's in trouble.
Are they?
Yep.
Why? Because they're playing tonight at Utah?
Who's going to play tonight? Dustin Wolf again?
Maybe.
I mean, I think that Calgary's in trouble. They're not good offensively. They weren't last year, but they were able to squeak in wins. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Wolf was excellent last year.
He was good last night,
too. And he was good last night.
But
he held them in. It was 2-0 Calgary, and then, you know, Vegas kind of started to roll on. But they got, and all due respect for Devin Cooley, who is a great guy, and he, you know, was in Rochester, here in Buffalo a little bit. Like, he's not going to give Dustin Wolf the support that he needs. Mm-hmm. You've got a young guy like that. You need to have a veteran, established NHL guy behind him to give him some help, to give him some support, to play him. Like, right now, Dustin Wolf
is starting tonight.
Cooley's starting tonight. Yeah. But, you know, Wolf is like, I'm playing well, not getting any results, and the stats line is not looking great, but he's still looking all right in net, so that's the problem. But
who were your who left you dazzled and disturbed last night across the NHL?
Well, I'll start with the positive, and I'll go with the Montreal Canadiens, because it felt like Seattle was the better team. I really feel like the Kraken were the better team. They had a 4-3 lead. Then Montreal late in the third period. They end up on the power play. Their first power play unit doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, Ivan Demidov decided to turn it on.
Is it Ivan now? Allegedly.
Demidov. Anyway, that guy that was 93, he was great on the entry. He took the puck in the defensive zone, entered. Then he gets the puck in the slot and a pass from Laine, and his delay around Gallagher crashing the net, the patience, and then he gets the goal, make it 4-4. The building is erupting. And then Cole Caulfield in overtime. I mean, Cole Caulfield is a sniper. He's a goal scorer. And there wasn't a lot of room for that shot to go up over Joey Decord's left shoulder. But that was dazzling to me last night. What had me disturbed was the New York Rangers.
Why? These games, they should be winning these games. It's not like they're having poor performances.
The Rangers?
Yes. No, they've given up. They have 3 goals against, not counting empty netters, in their 3 home games. Their goaltenders have been almost perfect.
But Duffer, when at the end of the day you do something that's never been done in the history of the NHL, never has it been done that a team's first 3 home games have been shutouts. No goals for the Rangers at MSG. So, funny enough, you know, at Center Ice at MSG, they got the 100 logo for the 100th anniversary of the New York Rangers. Somebody said they should take the 1 off and just keep the 00 because that's the amount of goals they've been scoring. So, that has me disturbed because the Rangers should be scoring. They have talent. They're in games, as you pointed out, but they are not. I mean, come on. Stuart Skinner and the Edmonton Oilers, you got to get some goals.
Skinner was good.
He was good. Not that they had like 20 shots or whatever.
30.
Well, at one point when I watched it, 30. They were at like less than 20, but they turned it on late.
They did, just like they did against Charlie Lindgren and the Caps, and they couldn't break through there because the goaltending was excellent against the man.
So they got shut out at home by Artur Shilov, Charlie Lindgren, and Stuart Skinner.
Did you have that trifecta?
Not the best trifecta. I mean, it's good. They're NHL goalies, but that was not on my bingo card for sure.
Well, the late game, and it was really late last night, home opener for Anaheim, if you can believe this, because they have not been good. Anaheim has won 10 straight home openers.
Yes.
Mind-blowing, given how poor they have been in recent years. But anyway, super hype last night, back-and-forth game. It's late, and talk about just like
deflating.
The worst. Yes,
deflating
as opposed to dazzled and disturbed is more accurate here, and that's Weatherspoon goes puck over the glass with less than 2 minutes remaining in a tie game. So now Pittsburgh is on the defensive. It was hilarious, and obviously it was undeniable because Weatherspoon couldn't even hide the fact that
he went straight to the box.
100% guilty. Yeah. But what's happened here in a very brief period of time is Anaheim's power play has been terrific, and it took 7 seconds for Chris Kreider to score after the penalty for puck over the glass, and Anaheim goes on to the win. And it was so impressive to watch the final minute because Beckett Seneca was out there as this, oh my gosh, he looks so young. But he plays he plays in all situations right now. He drew a penalty late to secure the win for Anaheim. And the Ducks have one of the best power plays in the NHL right now because of a player that you had keen interest in the last 2 seasons, and that is Chris Kreider.
Chris Kreider, when he scored 52 goals for the New York Rangers, he had 26 power play goals, which is a huge number, right? Mm-hmm. Half your power, that's Dave Vanderchuk numbers when, you know, you get half your goals or more on the power play. And he was great with the deflections, great in front of the net. Now this year he's got 4 goals, 3 on the power play. That's what Chris Kreider does. Like, he's still got speed. The legs are not going to go away. Mm-hmm. He still has speed. He was a player that was on my list of, if he was ever available. Well, Anaheim made a really, you know, good deal, and they got him, and, you know, whatever. Like, they moved on from Zegras. They're trying to change the team in Anaheim. And I really like that team now. They moved on from John Gibson. Finally moved on from John Gibson. Like, I like Anaheim, and do you want me to do a little this or that for you?
No. Oh, well, but I wanted to get into the rookies.
Oh, well, let's do this or that later,
okay,
after Beck Malenstein joins us.
All right. Well, the rookies, because yes. I just mentioned Beckett Seneca. You just mentioned Demidov.
Yes.
Like, who's your favorite for the Calder?
So I was asked, because originally, like, Ivan Demidov was a plus 150 and or plus 200, and everybody else was like plus 1,000 and more. Mm-hmm. And so somebody said Demidov or the field, and I said the field. I was actually talking to my nephew about it. And I said, I really like Jimmy Snuggerud, which had a couple goals the other night. His odds have shot up a little bit. The one player that his odds have shot way up is Matthew Schaefer mm-hmm. with the New York Islanders. So I am still in the, it's the field. It's not going to be Demidov's award, although his performance last night was nice. But I think Snuggerud is going to get more points and more goals than Demidov this year. He plays on the top line. But if Matthew Schaefer continues to play 25, 26, 27 minutes a night mm-hmm. and the rest of the defense in Long Island plays 17, like, he's going to win. Like, he's going to be the most impactful rookie in the National Hockey League this year.
Well, Zeb Bouyam is actually leading all rookies in scoring right yeah. now with 5 points, and he's playing over 20 minutes a night, and the power play already has 10 goals for Minnesota this year, and they
don't have 4-1 game. They lost 7-4.
Yeah, but they've been getting them, you know, goals every game yeah. with the extra. They lost to Dallas last night. Stars pumped in a couple empty netters to make it a 5-2 game, but still.
That was my nephew's pick, like when he said, yeah. He's like, I like Zeev Bouyam with the Minnesota Wild. I'm yeah. like, yeah, he's good.
He's been impressive, and obviously it's on the heels of Brock Faber and how he's entered the NHL and already become a major staple for them. All right, as promised, Beck the Winger. Not the singer. Coming up here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Back at KeyBank Center, and we are hosting 8 of Sabretooth's friends from around the NHL and Western New York for our inaugural Mascot Madness game on Saturday. That's this Saturday, the 18th, against the Florida Panthers. Doors open at 11:30. Puck drop is set for 1. First 5,000 kids in attendance to receive a commemorative Sabretooth beanie. And we'll have multiple stations to meet and take pictures with our 8 attending mascots. So bring the family early. Of course, we've been talking for a while about the home-heavy schedule to start the year. Buffalo seeking their first win tonight in game 2 of the 3-game stand. Zach Benson is in as they will take on Levi Marilainen and the...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ottawa Senators, and of course the homestand concludes on Saturday with the Panthers. Great to have Beck Malenstein with us. No better place to start than fantasy football, right? I mean, yeah. you two are going off here off air. So.
I am so upset. I missed out on waivers yesterday. I need a wide receiver, so I'm asking the general public, who should I go after? I got injuries. I got bye week issue. I'm in trouble. So what do you recommend?
Oh, I don't know. We have a 16-man league, so I mean,
ooh,
our bench players don't even see the field half the time, yeah. so I don't know who to tell you to go
okay,
after.
Okay, well, I was going yeah. after Kendrick Bourne, but you said you picked him up 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, and he's paid out for me. So
well,
you know, you might be a little late.
I'm a week late for
yeah,
that.
I know.
Hey, let me ask you this. You're a corporate guy, so like when a full organization email gets sent out to somebody,
sure,
okay, and you need to reply, and you accidentally hit reply all, and everybody gets your reply. I'm talking about 300 people
yeah,
get your reply.
That sounds like a death wish for me. I don't think I want that.
That's Rob Ray. Rob yeah. Ray decided to reply because he forgot his password.
You understand it's on purpose, right, Marty?
Is it on purpose?
Yes, every time, every year, all the time, never fear. Like,
so
seriously.
Rob Ray's response was, I don't remember my password and login information, but he sent it to the whole organization.
Hey.
Is that a fine?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I mean, it depends on what you're sending back, you know?
Well, I guess, yes. Yeah. That wasn't bad. Razor could send a lot worse.
Well,
things,
and so. then maybe there's repercussions for that. But.
Yes. Okay, just make fun of him.
I'll try. Okay.
Do you have a favorite mascot? We have mascot madness happening here on Saturday, so the kids that are coming into the building are going to be pretty excited.
Okay.
So favorite
mascot?
Any sport, any time of your life, yes.
Oh. We had season tickets to the University of Washington in Seattle, so I'll go with the Husky down there. We'll take that. Yeah.
College mascots, they go all out.
Oh, they really do.
Like, that's you come out of there and you're probably, have to do a surgery a year. Like, it's a football player, a surgery a year.
Some of the things they're doing, it's incredible.
Okay, so I'll name my top three for me. Beta Boom was one of them, obviously the Quebec Nordiques mascot back in the days. He was awesome. Yuppie, but the Expos Yuppie, not the Montreal Canadiens Yuppie. It's the same guy, but he once got kicked out of a baseball game. Yuppie the mascot. Tommy Lasorda got him kicked out because he was jumping on top of their dugout, and he got him kicked out. And the Philly Fanatic, because when I was in Philly, we would go to Philly's game, and my son got to meet him. He was a little scared of him at first.
Oh, yeah?
And he was unbelievable. So that's my top three. There you go.
Have you had any memorable...
Sabretooth's in there, too, but
just
yeah.
I was just going to ask, have you had any memorable interactions with Sabretooth since you've been here?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent some time out in the community with Sabretooth. I'm not going to reveal if I've met the man behind the mask or not, but... I will give him credit. The antics that he's able to pull off out in the community and the energy he brings, the kids could care less if we show up. If Sabretooth is there, that is number one, to and through. You know, just let Tooth take care of it. So, no, I have nothing but good things to say about Tooth. My son loves him, so it's all good.
And your son is... How old?
A year and a half.
I was going to say,
my wife had a picture of the two of them sitting on the couch in the family lounge the other day. So, son's a big fan of Tooth. So, he's in my good books.
So, do you have your boy come down to the glass and warm up? Do you say hello? Like, I know we saw Alex Tuck the other day doing it. Like, when we played my days, like, they didn't come around the glass. Like, it wasn't happening. And I'm like, I wish I would have seen my son there. And my girl's like, hey, how you doing? Lift the mask. And, it's dad, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think games are always tough. The afternoon ones are awesome because, you know, they're not going to sleep. 7 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. He's usually out cold by the time we're starting. So, my wife usually will pop down there with him. You know, this was kind of the first time where he was able to really notice that it was me, and that was, you know, that's a cool experience, right, that you can kind of see that connection. So, no, it's a fun little thing before the game starts to, you know, just have them share that experience with us.
See, I was – my son was two when I got in that fight with Ray Emery, the Ottawa Brawl. And he wasn't on the glass for that one. Good. Thank goodness. He would have said, that's not my dad. That's not my dad. He got beat up. But, I remember after the game, he's trying to punch me because he saw me getting in a fight. So that's going to be coming. You're going to get a big hit on fighting. That's coming.
Well, any hockey skills being shown by your boy yet?
He's happy to grab a stick and whack a ball around, golf club, football. He's kind of doing it all. He's got a lawnmower that he pushes around. I mean, it really anything.
Right up Marty's alley.
Yeah, I know. Anything that he can run with, he's pretty happy to do all of it. But, no, he's starting to... figure out the game a little bit, scoring goals and things like that. He loves it. So
I'll get him a truck with a plow next.
Perfect. Snow's coming out. Yeah, I'll take the help.
So it'll be Plowmaster, whatever number, 29. Right?
Perfect.
That would be awesome. Talking about hockey. So last game, you guys go in, boom, first shift. Felt like you and Josh and Cozy, like you set the tone, like you got in. When you came back to the bench, did you feel that there was some energy that you guys started right away? And there was a few times in the first half of the game that your line brought in some stuff.
Yeah, it was a challenge brought to us before the game that we wanted to start that way. Right from the hop, get pucks, bodies to the net, try to create some chaos, and thought we were able to do that. And you can feel the energy in the rink. You can feel the energy around the guys. It's obviously a great feeling to know that you've been able to start the game the right way and try to bring that. I thought we were able to find some chances to do that throughout the game as well. And it's got to be a focus for us moving forward. You know yourself, goalies are getting bigger, better.
Yeah.
And the more traffic we can put in front of them, harder it is to make saves. You're going to find rebounds, bodies, and things like that. So.
Yeah, bigger, that's for sure.
What do you think the biggest challenge has been for the team offensively so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be part of it. Is just the traffic that we can create around the net. You know, there's so many opportunities within games to have pretty plays happen, but so many goals, as you guys know, are scored, you know, in and around the crease that went off a shin pad that a guy finds on the backside, and just a willingness to consistently put the puck into those areas with bodies and people around. So I think that's an area that, you know, we're focused on growing and, you know, just starting to put more pucks to the net, have more focus of attacking that area and have that result pay out for us.
What's Kozak and Dunn bring in? Because I felt like both of them had really good training camp and then they don't start, you know, on the 12-man forward group and then they kind of find their way in because of injuries. But what do you feel that they bring in to your line, to your type of game?
Yeah, I think realistically it's just an effective simplicity is probably the best way to put it. You know, it's soft chips into the corners and knowing that you're going to have a guy to support you so you can make a quick play out of it, and then that's going to result in offensive zone time and, you know, a willingness to just put a soft puck out of the D zone off the wall and we're going to skate onto it. And just a kind of a, I think, a really simple, aggressive style of play, which when I think when all three guys are on that same page, it can be really effective.
Do you ever feel like, and it's carryover from one year to the next is hard because there's so much roster turnover typically, but last year your group played very well, clean sheet of success against Ottawa. Why might that be?
Hard to say, honestly. I mean, I think every year there's probably one or two teams that you come out of the year with and you have it, like you're saying, a clean slate, and there might not be any rhyme or reason for it. They're a great hockey team on that side. They got a great goalie in the net. They have lots of skill, so it's going to be a great challenge for us tonight to you know, flip our season around against a team, like you said, that we had success against last year, but every season's new, and it's going to be a new challenge.
Will you miss Brady Tkachuk not being out there tonight?
Well, I mean, you know, as a competitor, it's obviously great to have those guys on the ice, and but, you know, I'm definitely happy to not have him out there, too. He creates a lot of havoc. He's a very gifted hockey player in what he does. I think he plays a heavy, hard game along with a lot of skill kind of combined with it. So, you know that they're going to be looking to fill the void of him not being in there, and that's something that we have to push as well.
Do the coaching staff or, you know, the supporting staff, do they put out numbers out there, kind of paint the picture? Ottawa's been giving up goals, been giving up chances. The goals have been hard to come by. Maybe like trying to build a positive way to look at the game tonight, like we'll get chances. So did they put those numbers out there, and would you look at them to see like what are the areas you can take advantage of?
Yeah, I think those numbers probably grow as the season goes on once they have, you know, a little bit bigger of a database to build off of. But no, we're going to sit down and take looks at, you know, where we think we can take advantage of certain things that they're doing and some areas that we can improve on just on our end to give us more success. And yeah, every team, obviously, there's going to be little systematic changes that you think are going to give you, you know, a little bit of an edge out there, and we'll try to find those.
Anything else that you need to tell us about? I mean, we haven't spoken in months, obviously, since last year, so this is a big time to catch up.
Yeah, on. No, I mean, I can't think of anything too crazy.
Summer highlights, concerts, summer travel.
There wasn't too much travel. You know, we stayed pretty close to home. Summer was great, though. Got to spend lots of time with the family. My wife, we're expecting another little boy here very soon. So that's on the, I mean, coming days here. We could see it at any time. So.
Do you have a pager? Like, the kids don't know about the pager.
No.
But you don't have a beeper, a pager?
We call him Keebzak. He's going to be my pager. So.
Keebzak.
Yeah.
He's the one that calls those
exactly. Days. He's the responsible. But, no, so we have that's obviously we're very excited for that. But, yeah, no, other than that, it was a pretty basic summer. Lots of time spent with family, just trying to soak that all in.
Good luck.
He had a concert last night. What type of music are you in? And I'm saying that because, you know, a couple of years ago we did the personal goal songs. Now it's a team goal song. Last night the Montreal Canadiens, their home opener, they came out to their own, like almost like a batter's walk-up, like their own personal songs when they got announced on the ice.
Okay.
So what type of music do you like, and, you know, what's getting you going, like when you drive to the rink?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty big mix. I would say normally country music is kind of where I land, but you know, I grew up in a house of everything. My dad loved every type of music. My brother went to school actually for musical jazz, so like, I, there's a lot of music in the house. I do like it all, but
you
I would
play
say
an instrument.
I played guitar growing up. I've fallen off of it a little bit, but I could still pick one up and, you know, make it sound okay. Something I think I'd probably like to pursue maybe again a little bit in the spare time. But, no, I'm probably, you know, country music would be the first one that I would listen to, and then maybe some classic rock or something like that on the way to the rink.
Eric Church has come into the
arena. I know.
Mumford & Sons tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, Mumford & Sons tomorrow. You're right. Mm-hmm. But February 13th, I believe, is Eric Church.
So yeah, middle of the All-Star
Jonas
break,
Brothers
think,
here
so.
On November 9th.
November 9th,
so.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of shows.
Rivalry Series on November 8th.
Yeah, we're emptying out the whole calendar here.
Are you,
are you a singer as well as a guitar player?
Oh, no, you don't need to hear me sing. Aww. No, that is not a gift that
you
I was
got good
blessed
radio
with,
voice, though. I like the tone.
Yeah, it's face for radio. It's perfect, you know? It's what we work with.
It's what we know and embrace every single day. Beck, thank you. Good luck with everything.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
On game-worn jerseys from the 24-25 season, proceeds benefit the Sabres Foundation. Scan the QR code or visit sabres.com/auction today. And, of course, this auction closes this weekend on October the 19th. Injury news from around the NHL. Benson in for the Sabres tonight. Dis or dat, still to come.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Because Marty mentioned it, we need to give this its proper due and remind you that it is rapidly approaching the Rivalry Series game here November 8th, but we want you to enter now for a chance to win.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In a team-signed jersey from both teams participating in this rivalry series matchup, Team USA, Team Canada, Women's Hockey. The next chapter, of course, in this epic rivalry takes place here at KeyBank Center, Tuesday, November 8th. Tickets are available now, and for your chance to win that team-signed jerseys, visit sabres.com/enter. Look at you being ahead of the promo curve.
Those are, I'm telling you, they're intense games. They're fun games.
Great
get tickets.
Games.
Come take a look. This is an Olympic year. They are getting ready to battle in Italy in February, and that's the preparation. They hate each other in those games. It's fun.
You know, one of my favorite games that I ever attended as a kid, and this is borderline because I was almost getting to college age. I was probably 16 or 17 at the time.
No, what was it?
USA Canada pre-Olympic exhibition match at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1988. It ended 6-5, and I can't remember who won, probably Canada, or it ended up tied.
Yeah.
But it was, if you go back and you look at Team USA's roster, holy cow, the future NHLers. And the goaltending tandem was Richter and Terreri, and you had Brian Leetch, and like,
oh, wow.
it was unbelievable.
So they played a pre-Olympic
game? Yeah, like Canada and New York. Remember, this is back
they
when
had
Canada
the programs,
had
right?
The program, yeah.
The national program, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's...
It was like, I mean, just what an eye-opener.
I still remember watching the 2000 and... Was it the 2002 or 2006 Olympics? Team Canada... I think that was 06, Marie-Philippe Poulin coming onto the scene. And then Team USA hit the post with the empty net, right? And then Canada comes down. I was at the Tiki Bar in Cancun, I believe. So, yes, we had the Olympic break. So, but that's – I remember being at the bar in Cancun and watching the game. And people gathered late in the game. They were watching it. It was like – it was incredible.
Were you honing your dis or dat skills at that exact moment? And what are you taking us into today?
I wasn't honing the dis or dat skills just yet. That came later. But I'll tell you this. I've got a really good dis or dat for you. And – I don't know which way like I would lean on that one. So here's the this or that. So the Anaheim Ducks yesterday had the duck mask, right? The angry duck with the orange eyes mask for all the fans in attendance on the seats. It looked beautiful. It was awesome. So that's kind of looked like an old vintage goalie mask, right? And who is probably the most famous, well, Ken Dryden would be one.
And what a beautiful tribute last night.
But one of the most famous vintage goalie mask of all time is Bernie Parent. We lost Ken Dryden, we lost Bernie Parent just recently. And the Flyers are giving out the Bernie Parent mask to the player of the game, which was Dan Vladar in their first win this year. So this or that, which one is the best looking mask, right? The Anaheim Ducks, like Mighty Ducks mask, or the Bernie Parent game player of the game mask in Philly?
It has to be Bernie. There's just endless. I mean, nothing. Obviously, the fans deserve what Anaheim provided for them.
Which was awesome.
This is not about this.
18,000 of them.
This is about the legend of Bernie Parent and how, up until the day he passed, and it will last forever moving forward in Philadelphia and the history of hockey, it's his impact, his constant impact and respect that everybody else had for him, because he gave it to everybody that he crossed paths with in his career.
And as a player, And they, people hated playing against Bernie because he was such a competitor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after the games, like, he was always nice guy talking. Everybody loved him. But even as an ambassador, especially in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. he was there signing autographs, taking pictures. He was a fantastic ambassador. And over the years, like, the Flyers have lost a lot of, you know, Mr. Snyder, you know, Bernie. There's been a lot of loss there, but, he was fantastic.
Sabres sends tonight.
Yes.
It's Levi Marilainen for Ottawa. We expect Alex Lyon for the Sabres. There's three other games to speak of. Florida is at Detroit. They've now lost Kulikov for the next 5 months.
5 months with a labral tear. That's a big one. The New Jersey Devils also announced that Jacob Markstrom will miss the next couple of weeks.
Good thing they signed Allen for 5 years.
Yeah. At a low number. But Jake Allen's a good, capable backup, obviously.
Also tonight, Chicago at St. Louis, Calgary with Cooley in goal at Utah. We will see you next for Sabres pregame coverage on MSG, 6:30 tonight.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.